Hello, everyone, and welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation, a podcast from AIM10X dedicated to uncovering the stories behind the world's leading change agents and the most valuable learnings from our community of global innovators. I'm your host, Caleb Masters, and as always, we're here to provide you with actionable insights from today's greatest thought leaders to guide and accelerate your journeys. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. You can learn more by heading to aim10x.09solutions.com. In today's episode, we are joined by an AIM10X community member, Tracy Allen, the Vice President of IT Procurement at Nokia, to discuss building teams and developing the leadership required for a successful digital transformation. We'll start by talking about how Tracy arrived at the exciting chapter she's in right now and her career at Nokia before learning about how she built her IT procurement team and unlocked their potential to deliver results while working remotely during the pandemic. We'll also cover the importance of developing and retaining top talent to address the unique challenges of global digital transformations. And then we'll close out the conversation by taking a look at why listening and leading with empathy is essential to maximizing your team and department's performance. I'm really excited to welcome Tracy Allen to the show. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of connecting with Tracy, Tracy Allen is a human-centric business leader whose mission is to drive performance and growth with people. She is known for empowering global teams and building trust to maximize performance. And as Vice President of IT Procurement at Nokia, she's driven organizational change and led significant transformation projects. She is skilled at developing innovative solutions and supplier negotiations to avoid costs and maximizing profits. Tracy, welcome to Masters of Digital Transformation.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Wonderful. Well, of course, Tracy, we're thrilled to talk with you a little bit more about building and leading teams because ultimately, digital transformations, these are massive undertakings that really can't be done without the people who are in the trenches doing the work, but also the leaders in place to help with that. And even then, not just any talent can meet the demands it requires to change the way that supply chains and businesses operate. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. But first, I wanted to take a step back and learn a little bit more about your career. What led you to the world of IT procurement?
In the past 20 years or so, I've spent a lot of my time in the hardware space. You know, Nokia is known for building switches, IP, optical, and I spent many years doing the hardware space, which is very interesting, has a lot of supply chain pieces to that, and became kind of an expert in that field, but was felt like I was missing the piece, which is around software and services. And so I had an opportunity probably about 3 years ago to move over to the IT organization and build an organization there for procurement, kind of bringing that end-to-end into the digital office. And that was like really exciting for me to fill that gap that I've had as a procurement expert and not, you know, having that software and service level piece to me. That was really important. Growing and learning is really a key thing for me in terms of keeping the pace. So that was a good opportunity for me to step into that.
I can imagine transitioning from more of a hardware to everything's in the cloud is a considerable challenge to take on, which really leads me to my next question. I mean, what would you say is perhaps one of the biggest challenges that you've faced in your career so far?
I would say that being a woman and also not being an engineer through my career has probably been imposter syndrome, which, you know, is nothing but my own challenge. Nobody else's fault for me not being an engineer or being a woman or having the beliefs that, you know, I wasn't as good as others. Being around engineers and working with them, it's key in tech, and it's very well known that they're kind of the center of the company in creation and innovation. So obviously spending a lot of time with them and being part of their solution and supporting them, I always felt a little bit less than them or not as important. I was challenged with that for many, many years, and I wouldn't say it's completely gone. I think we all have some imposter syndromes that exist depending on our situations that we're in. I would say that what I've learned through that whole process is that I bring value in different ways to the organization. Actually, I've had a leader that always told me, we have thousands of engineers. That's not why you're here, actually. You're here to help us develop product at the right cost, at the right margin, and really kind of help us bring our product to market. And we need people and functions around us to do that. Engineers have a specific skill and talent, and it's not encompassing of all the other things that's required to bring a product out to market. So I think that I would say that's probably my biggest challenge, but I've worked on that for the last few years to try to overcome that. It still exists depending on the situation.
Imposter syndrome, especially when you're operating at the level that you are with teams of your size, I think is a really major challenge that a lot of executives aren't openly talking about. So I really appreciate your transparency there. Clearly, you've had massive impact in your organization. What was like the key to helping you overcome the imposter syndrome challenge?
Having good mentors around me, right? And having a really strong network is something that I believe is really key for many people that are striving to go into leadership. I think that having good mentors around me, holding a mirror in front of me, telling me, here are your strengths, here are your areas you need to improve on. Those strengths gave me the confidence that I needed to just keep moving to that next level. So I would say that having mentors and a network that can reflect back to you the things that you're really good at or the areas that you could work on has been instrumental for me to keep moving. That worked for that period of time. There's what gets you to A will get you to B, but that doesn't mean it's going to get you to C. So through your kind of journey as you evolve as a leader, certain tactics work to get you to that next step. Those things were really instrumental for me as a young leader. But then as I moved through my career was to build on those confidence and actually continue to work on myself. You know, I would say over the past 3 to 4 years, I've really invested in myself in terms of getting myself a mindset coach and really working on the beliefs that no longer serve me as an individual, as a mom, as a leader, and really wanting to show up in the best version I can for my people and for my family. I've been doing a lot of work, I would say, on the mindset piece, which has been really the foundation of my shift in terms of making a breakthrough in terms of my imposter syndrome and really seeing the value in myself and being able to change and reframe some of those beliefs that I've had about myself. Obviously, I made it through for a certain period. And then I would say the investment in a mindset coach is what really flipped the switch for me.
I love that you're so committed to the continuous self-improvement, very similar to business. What worked yesterday and was really critical to that growth yesterday might not be the same thing that's going to get you to the next step, which is really essential. But as a leader, you've got to model that for your teams and your employees. So I really appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing a little bit about that and also being open to talk about, hey, you never get too high up for a coach to show you some new tricks. You've done some incredible things that we're going to talk about in more detail here in a minute. But what would you say is one of your proudest achievements, especially related to building teams to take on transformation challenges?
This current role was probably the most difficult challenge for me. My first day on this job was actually when I went into lockdown with COVID. I was tasked to build an end-to-end procurement organization with a team that existed already, which was a vendor management organization. They have slightly different skill sets. So I basically had to transform and build an end-to-end procurement organization all through COVID. All of a sudden, you had to like adapt because I needed to see who I was interviewing because I could not travel anywhere. Hiring, interviewing, building an organization, trusting my gut, and really kind of tapping into my network was super critical for me to get that, so that I could actually build this high-performing team that I was expected to bring to the organization all through a good, probably I think it was like 14, 18 months before we could actually get together to meet each other face-to-face. It was a fun journey, and I would say probably the most challenging thing I've had to do.
Right, because I mean, you're not just talking about, hey, we're executing these business plans. It's not just the work, it's the relationship building. That's the thing that's been very challenging, I think, for many businesses across industries is, hey, how do I really make an authentic, genuine connection with my employees who I haven't met yet? Building new teams, and you're talking about not only building a new team, but actually taking an existing team and sort of reworking it, recalibrating it. This is going to be a huge undertaking under any circumstance. How did you approach perhaps either identifying the existing talent within your team and also recruiting new talent and engaging with them to kind of nurture those critical relationships that were essential in this remote environment?
So the first part of the question was, you know, understanding who is in the team, right? And what the skill sets I have. So for me, it was really important to kind of tap into the organization and the people that were the stakeholders of those people, so that I could get a perspective that wasn't just maybe the management at the current time, but some of the stakeholders, to give me some context around what works well, what doesn't work well, what are the skills that they're looking for, and what do they have today, and where's the gap? So I could really see where we had some disconnects or where things were working really well. So obviously tapping into your network is really important, right? Getting a perspective from the people that are using the service was really important for me. So I did spending a lot of time with the stakeholders and the customers to understand, like, what is it you're looking for my organization to do, and where do we have gaps and where are we doing well, so that I could understand. And at an individual level, understanding I needed to do some refresh and some upskilling, I had to work this all through the plan, right? So on top of taking an outside perspective, I also spent a lot of time with the people, and that was over the phone, unfortunately, or over Teams, right, or WebEx at the time. So we spent a lot of time connecting. So lots of skip level interviews, lots of one-on-ones, and really kind of strategizing, what do they want to do too, right? It's an opportunity for them to also express, hey, you know what, this isn't my dream job. I'd like to try something new, or I'd like to do something different. So taking all that feedback was really important for me to understand, what do I have today and where do I need to go and how am I going to get there, so I could really fill in those gaps. And then after I knew where my gaps were, then I could actually go back and start recruiting people, right, in my network that I knew. So starting interviewing and figuring out, like, where they could fit in. I really believe that it's important to really leverage people's strengths, right? So I try to fit the strengths to the roles and really get them good at that, so that their weaknesses become irrelevant. At the end of the day, that's what you want, because everybody has them. But if you're so strong in certain areas that are really key to the roles, people don't even notice your weaknesses. That's what you want at the end of the day. For me, it was understanding where I needed to have those gaps filled and trying to find those in the people and listening to people. We're a 90,000 people company, so there's tons of people that know people. And so I spent a lot of time tapping into different people's perspectives so that I can get an opinion formed on what do I need and what do these people have that we can actually turn into gold in our organization. So I would say there was lots of listening, lots of understanding about where people want to go, what are the skills I currently have and where my gaps are, and then trying to find that through the organization. So I spent a lot of time on the relationship piece, because without that trust foundation, it's not very useful to be able to move forward in an organization and really create that high-performing team that you're looking for.
Trust is going to be essential in any project with any partner or any direct report or any manager, COVID or not. So I can imagine having to build those connections, especially at a time when there was so much uncertainty in the marketplace. Having trust with your new team members, it really was a pretty critical part to accomplishing any of the goals that you set. You, of course, have talked about how you've identified gaps and recruited and filled them, but I imagine there's probably been a fair amount of coaching, training, upskilling, that sort of thing with the existing employees, like you mentioned. What do you see as the role of leadership in developing talent?
Most companies, right, and I would say most leaders, tend to fall back on the company corporate training. And I think that is super valuable. I'm not discrediting that. That's always there for people to tap into, and I think it's great. It was really important to bring something more to the people than just skills, let's say, for their roles, so that they're a better procurement person. I think that's great, but it's very minimal and very selfish as a leader to just focus on what they're going to deliver to the company. If we can help the people be happier and more open and understand themselves better and have their own self-leadership, they can show up better for everybody that they interact with. We did some competence development around leadership, but the leadership was really around self-leadership. So it was around mindset strategies. It's about EQ, emotional intelligence, being able to connect with others, understanding themselves, having lots of reflections, having one-on-one coaching so that they could actually reframe some of their own beliefs that weren't serving them anymore. I believe that by doing this foundational work, they can then show up for everybody, including their own teams, including their family and themselves, as much better people. And the amount of motivation and inspiration that gave our team was phenomenal. Like, people just would call me and say, look, I'm a better dad now that I've taken this training, and I am a better leader, and I have empathy, and I understand why it's important now, and I'm connecting with my people. That was rewarding for me, because I felt like I'm not just helping them be a better procurement person, but I'm starting at the beginning, which is being a better person. And then we can really build on that. In COVID, all of us being remote, I felt like that was a super powerful tool for us to use. As well as, like, from a nutrition perspective, people felt like we were investing in them. They were proud, right? They're like, wow, they're not just investing in me to negotiate a better contract. They're actually investing in me because they care about me as a person.
Well, I can imagine that also, it sounds like, built quite a bit of trust for a lot of reasons. Number one, I think this just speaks to your leadership and saying, hey, there's so much uncertainty in the world right now. The fact that you didn't play it safe, you actually said, hey, we need to invest in trainings that are actually going to treat these people as individuals who have gone through things, are going through things, so that you get to know them better and they can be better equipped to tackle these sort of gray areas that come with any sort of business transformation. You said focusing on the mindfulness first. Why is it so important, do you think, for leaders to ensure that they are healthy? So there's that classic analogy of on the airplane, the mother is putting on the mask before they put it on the baby if the plane's going down. Why is it so important for you as a leader to focus on having a healthy mindset yourself before bringing new challenges and ideas to your team?
Yeah, well, there's a few reasons, right? One is, leaders have a huge impact on an organization. What we do, what we say, really does impact the people around us. We are supposed to be leaders, so we're driving a direction. If we are not in alignment with our values and we don't understand what we stand for, and we're not clear on how we want to show up, I don't know how you can lead others if you can't lead yourself. And the fact that we can really have a negative impact on people if we show up in a not appropriate way or in a toxic way, I can derail and demoralize many of my people, which will affect the outcome of the business. For me, it was when I decided to do my journey of the mindset piece, was I absolutely wanted to show up as the best person I can for my people. And I knew that I had beliefs that were not serving me anymore and that were not allowing me to make the best decisions, or they were holding me back because it was kind of sabotage. Doing that work now allows me to put things in perspective because I have changed the way I see things. Being in tech too, we have tons of highs and lows in business, very cyclical business. It's so important to have that clear mindset where you're showing up in the best version of yourselves to serve your people, because that's what leadership is all about, right? At the end of the day, is that we're there to serve and support our people to execute the outcomes of the company. We're not all the same. Just because you're a leader does not make it that you're going to walk the talk, that you're going to support your people. You're there generally, I would say, is what I've seen. Leaders are promoted because they're very good at what they did. And that could be delivering a product, it could be designing a product, but that doesn't define you as a leader. It defines you as an SME, and then leadership skills need to come on top of that.
I think that's a great observation. I appreciate you sharing that. Oftentimes, we don't think of leadership as its own set of skills. Oftentimes, these are just wildly different skill sets. The communication, the relationship building, the trust, fostering a culture of empathy, as you've already outlined. What would you say are some of the other key ingredients to the success that your team saw at Nokia?
Yeah, so you talked about empathy, and I would say also having compassion. People were at home with kids running around the house, trying to share offices. It was just a very new way of working. And I think that, you know, we had to learn how to be flexible and be on at certain times and get our stuff done in different times, try to work that through the schedules that we had without even knowing each other. I think listening was big, being able to understand where people are at and try to meet them there and figure out where they want to go. I also think that we needed flexibility. That is so important in terms of this going back to work discussion that we're all having, right? I think all companies are having that. And the problem is everybody's kind of adjusted to having the flexibility of working from home. So I think that's another piece that we haven't quite figured out, but we had to be for sure during COVID, right? You had to have that flexibility because people still had all this stuff going on at home, and that structure, that framework, we lost that during the pandemic. One of the things that we practiced all the time is trying to turn on your camera and trying to make that connection, trying to create environments where we can have a safe space to talk about things like a coffee and connect. I continuously do like skip levels, try to get down in the organization to see how people are really doing. And then you have your regular staff meetings and even just checking in on people. I love Teams for that, right? Just sending a quick little note. Hey, are you doing okay today? If you need to talk to me, just ping me. Making that connection and letting people know that you're there, that was big because, like I said, going through COVID, everybody was going through so much. We were there for each other. So I also think that also helped us build really strong relationships with each other, right? At the really kind of connecting with each other at a very much deeper level than we would maybe if those things didn't happen, like COVID and the war, because it you know, sometimes in difficult times like that, we may really make those connections to support each other.
Carving out time to just be people, to get to know each other as people, the coffee chats, you mentioned skip levels, being able to forge those relationships with people who maybe aren't seeing you every single day. I appreciate you sharing a little bit more about how you've built successful teams, really fostered a healthy, transparent culture of trust. I'd like to hone in a little bit more specific on the industry you're in now, though. What would you say makes the world of IT procurement uniquely challenging?
That's a really great question. What I've learned, especially in IT, is that the technology is changing all the time. The needs are changing all the time. And it's a very different market than hardware, where hardware processes get tweaked and improved and the cost goes down. Funny enough, it's a very resource business in software and the prices go up. So it's a very interesting dynamic that I wasn't used to. And then the digitalization of procurement. There's an expectation that, you know, we need to digitalize and create efficiencies in our organizations. I think that's for everybody. We should be doing that. The evolving technology and the demands and being in tech as well, which is a very cyclical business, makes it really challenging because it's go, stop sometimes. So transforming can be really challenging, right? And so where I spend a lot of my time is helping people understand what we do, because I think that piece is sometimes misunderstood. It's a little bit more challenging, I would say, in the IT space than it would be in the hardware space.
You put it well. You're having to educate people who maybe are not familiar with the day-to-day on exactly what does this role do? What value does it add actually strategically? Like you said, it's a very strategic position. I want to turn the attention back to your team members, though, because we've spent a lot of time today talking about how the team structure and environment that you've built for your teams. Why is it so important for your team members to feel supported by you, as you've already talked about, and prepared on that human level before addressing a lot of these highly technical challenges of a digital transformation?
It goes back to kind of what we talked about. It's about the human aspect, right? If people don't feel safe, feel trusted, feel valued, all these other things, these other outputs that are expected may not be maximized. So for me, it's all about the human piece of it. So making sure that people have everything they need, making sure they know I'm there to support them. That has always been important for me and part of my history of why I stayed with procurement and kind of built and did different roles is that I want to be able to roll up my sleeves when I need to. I want to be able to step in and help my team members when they need support, right? We have to make sure that people know that we're there to jump in and that we value them and that they can lean on us whenever they need any kind of support, right? So for me, I spend a lot of time always offering that support so that they feel comfortable, because if they feel safe, then they will take risks and they will create and they will innovate. But if they don't, and they're afraid of failure and they think that they will be reprimanded for failures. I mean, how do you get any growth out of that? There's no growth, right? So people won't try things. They won't take risks. They won't bring ideas to the table. So for me, I think that's like the foundation there in terms of making sure that that is well known in the organization and that I'm going to support them and back them up.
I would like to hear a little bit more about maybe to turn it around, like maybe some of the lessons that you learned from your teams when it came to driving change management initiatives through the technology, as we've already alluded to here. What would you say are three key lessons that you've taken from your teams?
I would say this goes for many other topics too, but you have to be really clear with your expectations, right? As a leader, I felt like I've done that before where I know what I want, but maybe I didn't articulate very well to my team. So for me, it was like, be very clear with what the expectations are. I would say expect things to move around. Expect buffer in your plans because things will change and not everybody will be on board right away. And spending time influencing and convincing and selling the story on why people need to change or why we're doing this mission or whatever your change management is, don't underestimate the time it takes to influence people. I think people, leaders sometimes think, well, I got an idea. I'm just going to blow it through the organization, but nobody's on board. You're not getting the best outcome. Those are two out of the three. And then the other thing I always try to take time for is feedback. How are we doing? How do you feel about this? Is it still going the way that we thought? Is there a better way of doing it? And then being able to integrate that feedback as we move forward so people feel part of the solution. I try to do that. It's way easier said than done because sometimes you do have to move forward and sometimes that can get sticky. And so sometimes you just have to say, okay, team, we gotta go. So trying to balance that, I say those were probably the three lessons that were probably the ones that I learned. And I keep learning them over and over again, I would say, as we move forward.
Right. And that last one that you said there, feedback, being able to both receive and digest and implement feedback, just again, is a really essential role for listening. And again, when you're having to pivot quickly, as in technology, you oftentimes do, especially when they're implementing new tech, being able to take and apply that feedback in a meaningful way is a really good takeaway for our listeners, especially those who are looking to adopt new technology. Tracy, thank you so much for sharing your career experiences and also providing a lot of really great, meaningful advice. Just to close today's conversation, I wanted to bring it back to you and get the final word. For our listeners today who are leading teams and transformation initiatives, what parting words of wisdom or key learnings would you share to sign off?
It's really about modeling the way for our people, walking the talk, right? There's nothing that holds more weight with our people than actually modeling it. I would say that's probably the biggest piece. And obviously, as we move through still the challenges with the market and attrition, investing in your people is really, really important, right? So continuing to develop our people for attrition reasons and for the best of them, right? To be able to bring the best of themselves out in many different facets of their life is so, so important. And when you look at mental health, I kind of tie that in because I think that's where this whole mindset piece is really, really important in helping our people see their value and their worth and how they can show up for better people. It's just making the world a better place.
Tracy Allen, the Vice President of IT Procurement at Nokia, thank you so much for joining Masters of Digital Transformation today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to today's episode featuring Tracy Allen, the Vice President of IT Procurement at Nokia. We talked with Tracy about how to build teams and develop the leadership required for a successful digital transformation. Now, if you enjoyed today's conversation and want to learn more from the world's leading change agents, you can join our community of global innovators by heading to aim10x.o9solutions.com and signing up today. AIM10X is a knowledge and networking hub for leaders passionate about digitally transforming enterprises for better decision-making and a better planet. And to keep up with more episodes of Masters of Digital Transformation, you can make sure to head on over to your preferred podcast app to follow and subscribe. You can also support us by leaving us a rating and a review so that we're discovered by more listeners just like you. You can also learn more about the activities and learning opportunities available through the AIM10X Innovators Network by following AIM10X on LinkedIn. To close out today's conversation, I just wanted to leave you with a thought from the best-selling author Brené Brown that came to mind during today's conversation. Brené Brown says, empathy has no script. There is no right way or wrong way to do it. It is simply listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating that incredibly healing message of you are not alone. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We'll catch you in our next episode when we sit down with Monty Montemer, the former chief sustainability officer at Novartis, to learn about how she has leveraged technology to achieve supply chain sustainability throughout her career. You won't want to miss it.